you so much. Praise God. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We're beginning our sermon series entitled God With Us. And over the next several weeks, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 1, John chapter 1, Galatians 4, Titus chapter 2, and Philippians chapter 2. And this morning, we'll be looking really at a concept. If you've been at Palmetto Hills for a long time, you know that week in and week out, Jacob and I make it our aim to preach biblical exegetical sermons through passages and books of the Bible. This sermon will be a little bit different. It's a biblical historical sermon focusing on the theme, God with us. So let's look at Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, look, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to worship you. We thank you for the blessing it is to pray and to sing. And now we come to your word to be taught, to be transformed, to be changed, because your word is living and active and sharper than two-edged sword. So I pray for your help as I preach. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open my heart and the hearts of your people here, that we would be transformed in the image of Jesus, our Savior. We make our prayer in his name. Amen. Public speaking, heights, bugs, snakes, open spaces, confined spaces, strangers, crowds, darkness, needles, robots, clowns. You know where I'm going with this, right? These are some of the most commonly expressed fears that people have. And mine is roaches, and I can't do roaches, so just don't mess with me on roaches. But below those fears that everyone knows about, we all have deeper existential fears. A deeper existential fear, no matter how strong or confident we are, and it's this fear. It's the fear that we're going to be alone. Think about all the milestones and hurdles that we face in our lives. We want to share them with other people. So you have a baby and people rally around and your family and your friends support you. Birthdays, graduations, weddings, anniversaries, retirement parties. What do? We share with others so that they know and we know we're not alone. When we draw near to death in the best situations, we are able, hopefully, to come and be with those that we love and say goodbye. And in our fragility and vulnerability before a surgery or before a trial, what do we say? Could you sit with me for a little bit? Would you hold my hand? Would you mind praying for me? And in all of those things, they are loving, gracious reminders that we are not alone. This Advent, I want us to focus on, to zoom in on this glorious reality that God is with us. And since God is with us, we are not alone. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, God coming into the world as a baby, is the greatest pledge and promise and proof that God is with us. Even though our sin has alienated us from God, even though we deserve punishment and separation, we actually sang it, God has made a way for us to be with Him. And dear ones, God with us is a message that we need. It's a message we need because of the ongoing battle that each of us has with sin, and when we feel daily or weekly that we have been disqualified from God's love and God's presence. We need this message because of the challenges and difficulties we face in relationships. Some of those have maybe felt real and tangible in the past few days, and we need the reminder that God is with us. We need this reminder that God's with us and we're not alone when we walk through trials and sufferings and disappointments in life when things don't go the way we want it. We need God's promise that He's with us and that we're not alone, even when things are going well, because on our best days we still need wisdom and grace and support and encouragement. This is actually the message that our world needs as well. Because behind all the perfect profile pictures and the projection of strength and confidence and freedom, people still, at a fundamental level, have this question, am I cosmically alone? What about the future? What will happen when I die? So Christian, non-Christian, men, women, boys, girls, young, old, rich, poor, no matter your ethnicity or your race or your nationality, whatever it is, the answer to our greatest fears comes to us at Christmas in one word, Emmanuel, God with us. So that's where I want us to focus over the next few weeks. Emmanuel, God with us, is rooted, first of all, in covenant love. Now listen, God is with us because God loves us. God is with us because God loves us. We sing it from our very earliest days. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's a song for children, but it's also a song for adults. I hope I never forget going to visit with my friend Lucy a few weeks before she went to heaven. And I asked her, Lucy, you want to sing a song? What's your favorite hymn? We'll sing it together. Guess what Lucy said? Jesus loves me. And so her and Charlie and myself sang Jesus loves me together because it's a message that we need. God with us is rooted in covenant love, and covenant love is biblical. We could spend the whole day doing a Bible study together about God's covenant love for us. If you have questions about God's love, if you ever think, I need to be reminded of God's love, you can turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John in the New Testament reminds us in multiple ways about God's covenant love. God is love, it says, and in Him is no darkness at all. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from where? It's from God. But how do we know that God really loves us? In this, the love of God is manifested, it's revealed, it's unveiled, because God sent His Son into the world that we might live through Him. We know John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God's love isn't just a New Testament theme. Jeremiah 31, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. You know the gospel refrain in the Old Testament that we see over and over again. The Lord God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. God with us is rooted, it's set in God's covenant love, His hesed, His loving kindness and compassion and tender mercy for us. Isaiah 54, for the mountains may depart and the hills be moved, But my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace will not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. God with us is rooted in covenant love. And God's covenant love is unconditional. We know this. We know that it's true, but we need reminding. We know that God with us is a real thing. Christ came into the world not because we earned his love, not because we are the best and the brightest, not because he needs us on his team. One of the themes of the Bible is this: God loved us because he loved us because he loved us. And so, Deuteronomy chapter 7, you know this verse, it's simultaneously comforting and humbling. Deuteronomy 7, 6, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples of the who are on the face of the earth." Now that's, well, you know, we must be something special. God's chosen us for all these reasons. But then it goes on to say, "It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all the people. But it's because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers." So often, our love is fickle and fading. It's up and down. We're in and out. He loves me, he loves me not. But God with us is rooted in covenant love. And I love the way that Sally Lloyd-Jones talks about this. God's love for his children is a never-stopping, never-giving-up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And how desperately we need this message. We need this message when we doubt and when we struggle and when we wrestle and when we drift and when we suffer and when we're disappointed and when we're heartbroken and when we grieve. We need this message of God's love, God with us, rooted in God's covenant love, when we wonder, does God really love me? If God loves me, why am I going through this? Why am I suffering? Why are the people that I love going through difficulty? If God really loves me, why does this sin, this addiction, seem better than obeying God? And when you're tempted to think, does God really care? Is God really good? We need to be reminded, God is with us. He came down from heaven. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He came into this world, and his covenant love is the pledge, the promise, the reminder that God is with us and he loves us. That's not the only thing that we see. God's covenant love, God is with us, and it's not only rooted in God's love, it's rooted in covenant promise. Promises are important for us. We need promises in life because it's so easy to forget. We are so easily distracted by good and bad things, and we're thinking about something, and then there's the next shiny thing over here, and we need promises. Promises are important for us, whether they're the promise to a toddler that when I get home from work, I promise I'll make a fort with you under the dining room table, and a promise like, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Will you marry me? Here's a ring as part of that promise and pledge. God's covenant promises play a huge part in our faith. And it's one of the things that Jacob has been walking us through in Sunday school over the last few months. So what do we see? First of all, God's covenant promise is undeserved. Even though Adam and Eve broke covenant with God by eating the forbidden fruit, we see a glimmer in the first few verses of the Bible of the hope of the gospel. We see what theologians call the proto-evangelion, Genesis 3:15, when God says curses to the serpent, he says, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. You will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head." That's Jesus. There it is. God's covenant promise, undeserved. God is
with us.
And it's a developing promise. Some of you may be too young to remember Polaroid pictures, Polaroid cameras, instant cameras. You would take a picture, and then out would come the picture, and at first it was white. There was nothing there. And you might shake it, you know, that it's going to make it develop faster. And then you can see the things coming to shape. You can see the picture developing before your eyes. And that is the idea, the concept of God's covenant promises in the Old Testament. They're ancient promises. In fact, they actually go back before the beginning. Theologians call this the covenant of redemption, where God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made a pact before they created the world that they would redeem and save mankind. And so we read that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. John chapter 6 talks about how the Father has given the elect to the Son. So before the beginning, the promise goes back. And then we see it take shape throughout the Old Testament. We see God's covenant promises through Noah and through Abraham and through Moses and through David and through the prophets, and ultimately finding their consummation and fulfillment in Jesus Christ, his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and eventual return. And you know what the cornerstone of that is throughout the Old Testament? There's this phrase, I will be their God and they will be my people. I will be their God and they will be my people. And we see that statement is essentially this word, Emmanuel, God with us. And it unfolds throughout the Old Testament. So you have God's presence with his people in the temple, in the middle of the camp. As they moved around, God was with them. And then to the temple in Jerusalem, which felt like a more permanent home for God's presence and a place to worship. And then what we'll see next week in John chapter 1, Jesus became man. He dwelt among us. Literally, he tabernacled among us. Advent is about God being with us. And then when Jesus was preparing to go to heaven and he gave his speech and promises to his disciples in the upper room, what did he say? It's better for me to go that the Holy Spirit come. Not only is the promise God with us, but through the Holy Spirit, it's God in us, personally and corporately. And then we find the fulfillment in Revelation chapter 21, a passage that is familiar to us as the new heavens and the new earth come down out of heaven. John said, I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, look, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. God with us is rooted in covenant promises. They're historic. Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy listed here reminds us that God's promises go all the way back to the beginning. There's this unfailing promise, unbroken chain. They're promises of salvation. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So every true believer in the Old Testament was looking forward, waiting for the promised Messiah, the deliverer, the rescuer. Every Old Testament sacrifice, they were looking past to Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. These promises are personal. This isn't just a doctrinal discussion. It's not a theological debate. It's not an academic exercise. God with us is personal. So, dear ones, where and how do you need to know and remember and recall God's covenant promise in your life right now? Not only does God love us, he graciously gives us reminders and promises and assurances. And here are some of those. I will be your God, and you'll be my people. I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. I'll be a God to you and to your children after you. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. Dear ones in Christ, you are forgiven and accepted and beloved. God hasn't given up on you. All these covenant promises are summarized in one word: Emmanuel, God with us. The last thing I want us to see from this passage is also God with us is rooted in covenant pledge. A pledge is like a promise, but it has a down payment included or involved. There's a difference in saying, you know what, I'll buy your house. There's a difference between that and saying, yeah, I'll buy your house, and here's a signed contract and $2,000 in earnest money, and it's going to be a cash sale, and I want to close in 2 weeks. There's a little bit difference there, isn't there? And so God with us is rooted in a pledge, in covenant pledge. And one of the places we see that pledge unfold and expressed most beautifully is in Genesis chapter 15. You remember the story. Abraham just rescued his nephew Lot, and he worshiped with Melchizedek, and he was probably worried about reprisal from the neighboring nations. The word of the Lord comes to him and says, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward." And Abram pipes up and he says, "But Lord, I don't have an heir." So what does God do? You remember, he points him up into the heavens. He says, "Look at the stars. So shall your descendants be." Now, when we look up into heaven on a good night, we see dozens of stars. Abraham would have seen thousands and thousands of stars. He would have seen blankets of stars. And Genesis 15:6 says that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. This is a glimpse of the doctrine of justification by faith. And then God gives Abram a pledge. He cuts a covenant with him. And this is the way that people would make contracts and covenants in those days. They would cut animals in two, and then both parties would walk between these broken pieces of animal. And the message is clear. If I don't fulfill my end of the bargain, if I don't fulfill my end of this covenant, then let me end up like these broken pieces. And this is what's so incredible and powerful about Genesis 15. God caused Abram to go to sleep, into a deep sleep, and then God himself walked through the pieces alone. It's a pledge. Abram, you're not going to keep your end of the bargain. I know it. But I will. I will do whatever it takes to fulfill my covenant promises with you. Even though you deserve death, God's covenant pledge is, I will fulfill my promises for you. We all know that God with us, God's covenant pledge, finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, in his supernatural and miraculous birth, in his extraordinary ministry. Remember, he preached with authority. He confounded the scribes and the Pharisees with grace. The people said, "We've never heard anything like this." He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He cast out demons. He literally was reversing the effect of the fall by his kingdom power. And you remember Jesus' life. He lived a perfect life. He accomplished the mission that the Father, Son, and Spirit pledged to complete before the foundation of the world, and he laid down his life. Jesus marched into Jerusalem. He was the priest and the sacrifice. John 13 says, "Having loved his own in this world, he loved them to the very end." And he rose again 3 days later. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. Why are you looking for the living one among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to more than 500. He ascended into heaven, and he's coming back again. Christmas, Advent, is the pledge and the promise that he came to earth once, and he's coming back for us. God with us, brothers and sisters, is rooted in covenant pledge. Why does this matter? Well, it matters because it puts our lives into perspective. If God loves us, and he's not only given us promises, but pledges of that love, we can have courage and strength and hope and joy to set aside our fears and to walk by faith, knowing that we are not alone, that we are not forgotten, that we are not abandoned or rejected. Instead, God is with us and God is for us. This is the message of the Bible. This is the message of Christmas. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8, he who did not spare his one and only son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Jesus took the covenant curse so that we might have life. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There are few times in life where we feel more alone than on the first day. First day of school, whether it's kindergarten or college, who will I sit with at lunch? Will I make any friends? First day on the new team, will they accept me? Am I good enough to play at this level? First day at the new job, I hope I made the right decision to work here. Do I really know what I'm doing? And even the first day at a new church, will the people greet me? Will there be a place for me? And then what happens? Someone comes up to you and introduces themselves, and they say, in first grade, hey, I'm Sally. Would you like to sit next to me? Or someone meets you at the coffee pot at work, and they say, hey, welcome to the company. Everybody leaves at 4:30 on Fridays. Someone comes up to you after your first practice and they say, you're really good. I'm glad you're on our team. And the butterflies start to go away. And you remember and you think, okay, I'm not alone. The gospel of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, is the ultimate reminder that we are not cosmically alone, but that we can have life, real life, eternal life, everlasting life through Jesus Christ. So this Advent season, lean into God's grace. Set up camp here. Let it strengthen and encourage you. God with us is rooted in God's covenant love, in God's covenant promise, and in God's covenant pledge. Let's have hope and joy with those truths this morning. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you have been at work in this world from eternity past, and you'll continue to work into eternity future. Thank you that you move toward us, and that Christmas reminds us that God is with us. Help us to live with that hope. May it shape and transform our lives, not just today, but in the weeks and months ahead. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'll close our